This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, Erlene McMichael talks to a local housing official about the effectiveness of the Fair Housing Act, which just turned 50 years old. But first, how much do you know about Kalamazoo's Edison neighborhood? Second Wave Media and its parent company, Issue Media Group, want people to learn more. They have launched what is called an on-the-ground project in Edison neighborhood. Teresa Cody O'Neill is the project editor. Kathy Jennings is managing editor for Southwest Michigan's Second Wave, overseeing the on-the-ground project. Thank you very much for being here, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gordon.
How does on-the-ground work?
How does on-the-ground work? The way that we describe it is we have an embedded journalist, which that's where Teresa comes in. And they spend a lot of time in the neighborhood, meeting as many people as they can, going to meetings, and basically doing a lot of what used to be called shoe leather journalism. It's the old-fashioned kind where you spend a lot of time getting to know people and what's important to them.
Is this a way of avoiding what we sometimes call in journalism the parachute-in effect, where somebody comes into an area where they don't regularly spend a lot of time, they do a story, but the people who live there read it and say, that really doesn't reflect the place I live?
Yeah, I would say definitely. In fact, over and over again, in the different issues I'm covering, whether it's disability or historical preservation, what we're hearing from people in the city, but also people in the neighborhood, is you have to ask the residents, talk to the residents first, because not only do they have to buy into the change, they have to suggest the change, they have to be a part of the change. And that's been something really fascinating to hear.
And we've taken a lot of steps that we hope have involved the residents. We have had specific meetings to invite them to talk to us and tell us what they think the important stories are in their neighborhoods, and just a lot of time meeting with them in general. So, and they invited us into the neighborhood. It wasn't like we came and said, we're going to cover Edison now. They specifically were part of a group that invited us to come and cover the stories there.
And this has been done in some other cities across the country, right? Including some in Michigan.
It has. Issue Media Group, which, as you mentioned, is the parent company, started this project in 2012 at our Philadelphia publication called Flying Kite. And that was the pilot of it. It went very well. And so then we moved it to other communities in Detroit at Model D. And since then, it's been all over Michigan, pretty much in Ypsilanti, Pontiac, Detroit. Like, I think the lakeshore of Muskegon is the most recent one that we've had.
And eventually there is something involved where people who live in this neighborhood will be trained to be reporters. How does that work?
It's called the Community Correspondence, and that's going to start up actually this Saturday. There's four people who are going to be coming in. We'll give them some basic journalism training. They've already talked to us about the stories that they think they want to cover for the community, so we're really excited about that getting going this weekend.
So some of these stories have already run, and in one of them, Gino Hinton is quoted as saying that Edison is what America should be. Teresa, what does he mean by that?
Well, I think what Gino meant by that is that Edison is diverse in so many different ways. It's not just ethnically diverse. It's socioeconomically diverse. It has a large LGBTQ plus community. There is disabled seniors, and all of these people are living together, like on a single block. It's not like here's, you know, all the Hispanic people living over here and here's all the disabled people living over there. There is some, like Washington Square apartments, for instance, have a large disabled population. But there's this effort and energy in the neighborhood to get to know everybody. And you see like a lot of blocks like really working together to just make life better in the neighborhood. So I think that's what he meant. And it's a very positive feel. You hear a lot of things about Edison, especially, and this has come up over and over again, crime. And this happens no matter where you are. All the bad stories seem to take over. But I think the people who live in Edison, they don't feel that. Yeah, sure, they want to do things about crime, and the crime has gone down a lot, but they're mostly focused on the positive that they're doing.
Is there a balance then, as you're talking to people in what they're saying and also in what you're reporting about trying to explore some of the myths of Edison and maybe try to break through those, but at the same time also trying to look at very real problems that do affect the people who live there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the issue with Michael Day, who was the youth I think he was 13 years old, that was murdered, kind of really woke up the neighborhood and the community organizations in the neighborhood. And what happened after that, I think, is pretty phenomenal. And actually, you know, we're still going to be doing some stories on that. But crime has, violent crime has gone down considerably. So, I see people doing a lot. There's, you know, a lot of efforts for beautification. Kalamazoo County Land Bank has purchased and fixed up a lot of buildings that are now being populated by businesses. So there's a lot of growth in the area. Everyone seems to think it's on an upward trend.
I think that's one of the things that they've really tried to get across to us, that it is better. Mm-hmm. Edison is better. And they want us to get that story out there.
You do tell us about a couple of businesses which have started in various articles here, including one on empowering women. Let's talk a little bit about Pamela Jenkins. She started something called Intrepid. What is this?
Yeah, Intrepid is, it's an organization. In some ways, it's kind of a catch-all because Pamela's just, she's really interested in helping women, especially, I would say, those whose children have aged out of kind of, you know, getting that support for single mothers, say, and getting back into the workforce. So she's talking about, she's working with women who are veterans, who are coming back and needing to reintegrate into civilian life. She's talking about working with women who might have a previous conviction or are reentering after, you know, serving jail time, and trying to get established, trying to get the very basic things to kind of start life again, you know, paperwork, ID, ways to get jobs. You know, she does a lot of financial literacy, but it's a pretty much an umbrella. She's interested in health, spirituality, financial literacy, employment skills.
I found the section on her trying to help people who were previous offenders interesting because she was the victim of a violent crime herself and very badly injured.
Yes, yes. I think for her, I think she's a deeply spiritual person, and a lot of that comes out of her belief about helping others. I think she's a forgiving person. I think that she's also struggled, and I think that's where her compassion has sort of caused her to want to go out and help others who are in a similar situation.
It's also what makes her inspiring.
Yeah.
In that same article, you tell us about something called Rooted, which is in Edison. Now, what does Rooted do?
Yeah, Rooted is really an interesting organization as well. It's, again, one of the words you hear a lot when you talk to Kamatai Mitchell is organic, and that's sort of the approach she's taken to her organization. She started off following her interests, which was, at the time, African drumming and dance, and she's very passionate about social justice. She had a really interesting childhood. It was hard to get all of it in, but she grew up, her parents are biracial, and her mother was Catholic, Italian Catholic, and her father was Black and Baptist. And they just exposed her and her brother to all of these different religions. And so she's been in mosques and all sorts of things, and always at this point of feeling uncomfortable. So she said she's very used to feeling uncomfortable. And she's very passionate about social justice. So she sees a lot of the, for women of color, this feeling of needing to get back into the rhythm of life. And she does that through dance, and she does that through drumming, and she does that through birthing as a doula. Yeah, so she ended up, bringing this all together in a way that's quite fascinating and is constantly changing as well.
So Rooted is in a place known as Jericho Town, and that is the subject of another story at Southwest Michigan's Second Wave. So how did Jericho Town get started?
Yeah, Jericho Town is a really interesting story. I kind of think of it as being a little mini Seattle, because you had Crystal and Jeb who came here from Seattle. And coincidentally, with Caltone, Rye Charters lived in Seattle for about a month crossover with the time that the guests lived there. But they didn't know each other, but they were in the town at the same time. So it's kind of taking some of that Seattle vibe and bringing it to Kalamazoo, sort of, you know, going in, finding these old abandoned factories and warehouses and sort of converting them into a place where you can have artists, entrepreneurs, you know, people who have trades, like they have electrician, a mechanic, and sort of bringing it all together so that you get this sort of rich possibility of collaboration and energy. And it's really evolving. I'm fascinated. They do most of their own work themselves. They just bought scaffolding. They painted the buildings. You know, Jeb has a scooter business, Fido Motors, so he's very handy. And yeah, and they've just recently opened the cafe, the Fido Motors Cafe.
We find out in your story that the gas actually came from Seattle to Kalamazoo because of the Kalamazoo Promise.
That's right, yeah.
And I wonder if there is some sort of a connection there of people who are willing to pull up stakes for something like the Kalamazoo Promise, which, of course, gives you some sort of options, I guess, financially down the road in terms of maybe not having to pay for as much schooling as you thought you might have to for your children. And
yeah.
Then you can say, well, maybe there's an opportunity for us to take a chance on getting a business started, and maybe even in an area of a city like Kalamazoo, which other people wouldn't think of right away as the place to go and start a new entrepreneurial venture.
Yeah, I think the Kalamazoo Promise is drawing a phenomenal amount of people. And it's not just people that are willing to start entrepreneurial. It's also people, single parents and other people. I mean, it just across the socioeconomic strata, I think it draws people into the area. But yeah, I think that, now I think the gas knew one couple here, but that was it. And they do have a little bit of Michigan roots, but I think, yeah, knowing that they could come here and that their children would be able to have free tuition is just amazing and definitely a draw for someone who's taking a risk in starting a business where you don't know, is it going to work or is it not going to work or how are we going to finance this? So
I think that shows the promise working in one of the ways that it was supposed to, that it's actually promoting some economic
mm-hmm.
development, that this young couple who started out with one building and now they're in three buildings and they're bringing in other young entrepreneurs like them, that was one of the goals, I believe, and that's really important to see.
So what is next for On the Ground in Edison?
Well, I'm working on this article about disability access and issues because there's kind of a significant portion of disabled and seniors living in the neighborhood. After that, we have a pretty exciting story about an ex-gang member who's become a pastor and now works with Urban Alliance and just real committed to helping intervene with group violence. And we're also working on a project. Washington Writers Academy has undergone a lot of changes, you know, the new building. Also, they're switching to the summer slide program, so it's going to be year-round schooling. So we're going to take a look at that. And then also, with the current cultural climate, in terms of immigration, we want to take, because Edison has a pretty significant Hispanic population, we want to see how that's impacting families. So those are some of the bigger stories we're looking at.
Down the road, these community correspondents who are being trained, is the hope and anticipation that they will be regularly reporting on what's happening in Edison and that those articles can appear in Southwest Michigan Second Wave?
That is definitely one of our goals. Yep, that's one of the reasons we'll be working with them to train them as much as we can in terms of how to write, you know, what's important to cover in a story, how to write a feature with that intent, yes.
Will there be other projects in other places in Kalamazoo?
It does. We go from Edison to the north side, and we anticipate that next year we'll be covering Vine and east side.
Teresa and Kathy, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Teresa Cody O'Neill is project editor for Issue Media Group's On the Ground program in Kalamazoo's Edison neighborhood. Kathy Jennings is managing editor for Southwest Michigan's Second Wave. You can find links to their stories at wmuk.org.